Welcome to In the Jar, where friendly face ain't far. And come on down, have you a seat, and we're going to have a cigar. Yeah, ho. All right. Let's see. What does Mr. James Clear have to say this week? All right. What top performers do? 3, 2, 1. All right. We'll go straight down the line. What top performers do and how to deal with critics and detractors. Okay. Three ideas. One, you don't need to worry about progressing slowly. You need to worry about climbing the wrong mountain. Ooh. That's just a purpose type deal, right? What's your purpose? It ain't. It ain't about a question of progress. You know what I mean? If you love something, you're going to show up for it every day, and you're going to get better. And I mean, that's really human happiness, ain't it? Working towards something that you care about. Okay, number two, if you already live a comfortable life, then choosing to make more money but live a worse daily life is a bad trade. A lot of folks. And yet, we talk ourselves into it all the time. We take promotions that pay more, but swallow our free time. We already have a successful business, but we break ourselves trying to make it even more successful. Too much focus on wealth, not enough focus on lifestyle. There's a show I've been watching on and off. I really can't stand having a show that I enjoy, you know, one that takes time. I'm watching Succession on HBO Max right now. Here and there, you know, I really can only stomach taking like 2 hours a week to watch it. And obviously, you got an hour an episode, so you move along kind of slow. But a lot of that shit in that show, right? You see these folks, they're sitting on a float out in a pool, infinity pool, out in the middle of the damn New Mexico desert. It looks beautiful. It's probably a $10 million home. Point being, you're in heaven, but mentally, them folks are in hell. And I think that show does a really great job of depicting that trade-off that we just talked about right there. All right. Number three, mastery is not only about getting better at your craft, but also about finding ways to eliminate the obstacles, distractions, and other annoyances that prevent you from working on your craft, i.e., what's the easiest way for you to stick with a habit, right? It's summertime. The pool out back is getting a lot warmer, so I made a personal decision and I purchased a cold plunge because it's right there, right? You ain't got no excuse. It's hot outside. You got the water chiller cooling that water down now, right? I'm talking to myself. You ain't got no excuse no more. You ain't got nowhere to hide. It's easy to do this hypothetically, right? Easy to get to doing it, right? Obviously, the habit's not easy, and that's why you got to remove all resistance. Even with this show, you know, we put systems in place where all I got to do is worry about showing up and running my mouth. And for that reason, it's easy to come to this because it ain't always easy doing this. Nothing worth having or doing is going to be easy. It's just the cold, hard facts. All right. Top performers find ways to spend as much time as possible on what matters and as little time as possible on what doesn't. It is not someone else's responsibility to create the conditions for success. Are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? Think about that. You have to actively work to eliminate the things that don't matter from your workload. If you haven't figured out how to do that, you haven't mastered your craft. I'm reading a book right now. It's called The Essentialists, and it's recommended by a great mentor of mine, Tim Welch, on his Snapchat. And, you know, non-essentialists are the majority of people. You know, folks that say yes to everything. And I know folks like that very well because I used to be one. Say yes to everything, right? Don't really care what it is as long as it impresses the boss, makes you look good at work, helps you climb that ladder. Yeah, sure, I can take that on. Yeah, sure, that sounds like a great thing. Yeah, sure, I'll meet with you at lunch. Even though I got, you know, even though I'm a CPA and I got 2 days to file 50 more people's taxes till April 15th. I'm just bullshitting. You know what I mean? I mean, shit, I did it today, man. My dear friend Michael, he's got a jiu-jitsu competition going on while we're shooting this. Literally while we're shooting this, he's probably out there smoking fools. And this morning I was like, yeah, I'm gonna come out and support you. I had to shoot him a text and be like, nah, bro, I got to Potter today, you know, it's probably not gonna happen, but you know, I want you to know that I'm supporting you, I'm there for you in spirit. So, you know, I'm even doing that to this day, or that's challenging me to this day. Non-essentialism, I mean. All right, two quotes from others. One, the anonymous poet Atticus on how to live. Whatever seed you are, bloom. Whatever seed you are, bloom. I guess he's just speaking on progress. He's telling you, hey, always be progressing. ABP. All right. Second, poet and writer Joseph Brodsky on how to deal with the critics, detractors, and negative influences in your life. Try not to pay attention to those who will try to make life miserable for you. There will be a lot of those in the official capacity as well as the self-appointed. Suffer them if you can't escape them, but once you have steered clear of them, give them the shortest shrift possible. I don't know what shrift means. Attention, paying them mind, I don't know. Above all, try to avoid telling stories about the unjust treatment you received at their hands. Avoid it no matter how receptive your audience may be. Tales of this sort extend the existence of your antagonists. Most likely they are counting on your being talkative and relating your experience to others. By himself, no individual is worth an exercise in injustice, or for that matter, injustice. The ratio of 1-to-1 doesn't justify the effort. It's the echo that counts. That's the main principle of any oppressor, whether state-sponsored or autodidact. This is a book, y'all. Therefore, steal or still the echo so that you don't allow an event, however unpleasant or momentous, to claim any more time than it took for it to occur. What your foes do derives its significance or consequence from the way you react. Therefore, rush through or pass them as though they were yellow and not red lights. Don't linger on them mentally or verbally. Don't pride yourself on forgiving or forgetting them. Worst come to worst, do the forgetting first. That's a bar. This way, you'll spare your brain cells a lot of useless agitation. This way, perhaps, you may even save those pig heads from themselves, since the prospect of being forgotten is shorter than that of being forgiven. So, flip the channel. You can't put this network out of circulation, but at least you can reduce its ratings. Okay, that's good. You know, blocking out the haters. One question for you, and then we'll wrap up the James Clear juice. Is the situation actually complicated, or is it really quite straightforward, but you're making it complicated because it requires a lot of courage to make the straightforward decision? Damn, boy. Is the situation actually complicated, or is it really quite straightforward, but you're making it complicated because it requires a lot of courage to make the straightforward decision? I mean, shit, man, if a gambling company offered me a bag one day as an investment advisor, I'd have to say no. And it'd be really easy to complicate that decision. It'd be really easy to say, well, damn, bro, we'll probably be able to eat for the next 5 years at McDonald's every day. But it's a conflict of interest. It's an ethical conflict. And I'm sure if that situation ever occurred, I'd be doing my damnedest to make it complicated for myself. And that's just the way it is. But when we finally have the courage to come out and say, nah, man, I don't stand for that. We all face those crossroads. All right. Speaking of Tim, let's see what he's got to say in his deal. Mr. Timothy, Uncle Tim. Tough love. All right. Little boys do dumb shit and they're wild. When I disrespected my mom or did something dumb, I got a little whooping and it was all for the better. There are some kids at my gym, this is Tim, that I don't think you can get respect from without spanking them a little bit. Like I said, I was spanked heavily and very thankful for it because now I have respect for people. I know it's easy for me to say as someone without kids, I'll probably have a wide awakening when I do, but a little bit of spanking don't hurt you. As long as it ain't something used to control the kid with fear. I had to face that with I can't even liken it, man. I feel like that's like the biggest thing that bothers parents is when folks that don't have kids try to compare it to having a dog, but I'm going to do it anyway. I got a little German Shorthair pointer that'll bounce off the damn walls if I let him. If I give him a centimeter, he's going to take a kilometer. You know what I mean? He's one of those. He's like his dad. And I had to really not play into that temptation of establishing fear just for the sake of establishing fear. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where you're like, all right, I got to show him what the right thing is. And, you know, let the world do the rest of the work. I don't know, man. You know, it's like, I feel like as a parent, you know, whether it be of a dog or a human, right, you either command respect or steal it. When you're using fear to mimic respect, I feel like you're kind of stealing it, right? You're kind of playing God. You're kind of playing the universe a little bit because you're using a negative emotion to your advantage. Whereas, and again, I'm talking out my ass, man. I got a dog, but this is how I would envision it, right? Is like if you live a certain way, then your child's going to see that and understand that the conviction you have when talking to them about life, when facing hard things in life with them, or when they're acting out, they'll know what the right thing is. And they'll beat up, they'll feel bad themselves about not doing that, about not doing the right thing when they know it's not the right thing. You know what I mean? Like when Jasper was a puppy and he'd take a shit in the house, I'd say, I'm talking to my dog in English. I'd say, this is what you're supposed to do. And I'd carry him outside. And I'd say, no, this is, inside is not good. Go out here. I don't know, man. I'm talking on my ass. The shit works, all right? Anyway, let's see what we got for on-screen stuff this week. All right. UFC. Okay, so UFC 300 is going on as of the day of the shooting tonight. So y'all will see this the day after. But let's see what people are betting on. All right. UFC 300 public bet warning. Okay. This is, I guess, you're taking a contrarian approach to betting. I myself am quite the contrarian, which is why this clip caught my attention. Alex Pereira, -135. That's it? Versus Jamal. Jamal Hill's good. 72% of bets. 78% of the money. and others. Zhang Weili is a dog, right? Can't understand her, but she's a dog. Gaethje -155. I mean, Gaethje's a fan favorite, dude. Like, he's one of my favorites. He just the way he bangs, the way he plays ball, you know what I'm saying? Oliveira at 185. He's a dog. In this case, not necessarily positive. He's an underdog. But he's got 69% of the bets, 81% of the money. It's good value. I might take that. Again, this is dropped afterwards, so we're in the clear. Bo Nickel, damn, -1450. Holy crap. I mean, I get why he's favored that heavy, but why would you waste your... I bet a $100 bet gets like 10 bucks. If that. Damn. All right, UFC 300 going down. Probably top to bottom, the best card. Well, I think it's got the most depth. All right. This is a big topic of the last 3 days. Kentucky basketball is going to hire, has hired, as of the time of this shooting, BYU, former BYU coach Mark Pope, to be the school's next men's head basketball coach. John Calipari is out at Kentucky. He was not fired, but he left for a job offer at fellow SEC school, Arkansas. Woo! I don't know the rest, but they go, pig, suey. Actually, I think that is the rest. Anyways, Cal's headed to Arkansas. I think he took a pay cut. I don't know how much. You know, the Tyson family, the Tyson chicken folks, they were a big factor in it, apparently. It sounds like they're going to give him at least $5 million a year to spend on NIL ventures. Okay. So, who replaced him? BYU head coach Mark Pope, who won a national title as a player with the Cats under Rick Pitino in 1996, his last game in college before he moved on to the NBA. From what I hear, about 6'10", real tall, wasn't the most talented player on the floor, but always the most engaged mentally and energetically. Originally, when I caught wind of this, I thought, what? Who the fuck is this guy? And then I remember, oh yeah, 96 was the year I was born, so I don't remember that game at all. But a lot of relatives of mine do. And what they say about Mark Pope is that he's got infectious energy. They say there's probably not another candidate out there that cares more about University of Kentucky basketball succeeding. All the former players are chiming in and saying that this is our guy. And there was a lot of outrage from Big Blue Nation the night it happened, Wednesday night, I believe. Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director over at Kentucky, acted very fast in making this hire. From what I understand from people on the inside, did not consult with many folks, if any, on making this hire. He said, hey, I'm making this call. This is me. Didn't leave a good taste in a lot of fans' mouth. I didn't love it. I feel like the best leaders are ones that aren't bothered by conflicting opinions. They're interested in them. And I think he probably knew if he went to anybody and said, hey, I'm thinking about hiring this guy, I really believe in it, and they said they disagreed, I feel like he wouldn't have liked that. So that's not my version of a great leader. But, you know, if the hire works out, it works out. And, I mean, Mitch Barnhart's been doing this a long time. So, you know, he might just be have a lot of conviction. All I know is that, you know, it's a big decision. maybe run it by a few people you trust. I don't know. That's just what I heard from the inside. May or may not be true. He may have done just that. But he's got vast player approval. From what I understand, the polar opposite of Cal. Rick Pitino chimed in. He won championships with the Wildcats in 96 and 98. Led Louisville to a national title in 13, I believe. Always will be a legend in Kentucky lore. And his name was actually, I think, well, for fans, in the hat. For Mitch, I don't know. You know, but he dropped a really nice video talking about how much he believes in Pope. Pope obviously played for him. Mark Pope was also the roommate of star Reed Shepherd, current UK star, probably a lead for the pros. Reed Shepherd, his dad, Jeff Shepherd, was roommates with Mark Pope and teammates on that 96 championship team. So, you know, a lot of the fans, a lot of the Big Blue Nation. I was listening to some Twitter Spaces on, I believe it was Wednesday night. I think it was Thursday. We're saying, oh, this guy, he only got hired because he's Jeff Shepherd's roommate and they're trying to get Reed to stay. They were real pissed, but then, you know, you give everybody a sleep to kind of think on it. And Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio had Mitch on the next morning. I didn't hear it, but apparently Mitch answered some really tough questions, and Matt did the interview very well. So Jack Goose Givens called in, Bryan Station High School, Lexington guy that won a championship with the Wildcats in 1978, Jack Goose Givens. I'm trying to think what else, man. No, it's big news. I mean, Cal's been with UK since for 15 years. This will be the first season without Cal since I was 11 years old. Back in the Billy Gillespie days, those seem very far gone, and they are. So, new era for Kentucky basketball. Sounds like a lot of folks have come around. The main bone to pick for me is how athletic director Mitch Barnhart of the University of Kentucky went about it. I think good leaders consult with people on big decisions that they trust. That's just the bottom line. All right, next deal. Try using a computer correctly, dude. Okay, NFL news. The Browns and star running back Nick Chubb have agreed on a reworked contract for 2024 to lower the space of $11.775 million. I don't know why they felt the need to do three decimals. Maybe just accurate reporting. Sources tell Ian Rappaport with a chance to earn it back in incentives. So he's working his way back from an injury. I would imagine they're doing this just to say, hey, man, you've gotten hurt a lot. It's time to really dial in and improve yourself. And I'm sure he's got the right people in his corner to make sure that he's recovering the way he's supposed to. He's eating what he's supposed to. He's taking care of his mental the way he's supposed to. And quite frankly, if you're a pro like him and this is your life, this is your job, I feel like you kind of got no excuse but to make that happen. Great player. I remember how hard he ran when he was at the University of Georgia playing against my beloved Samford Bulldogs. Georgia beat us 45-14. And Georgia had Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, and DeAndre Swift. All in one running back meeting room. Nick Chubb had some damn tree trunks for legs. But I will admit, I believe the scariest player on that Georgia team was Roquan Smith. And the way that guy could cover some ground and hit hard. CTE hard. So, all right. Browns are doing their best to make some noise in the AFC North. I know my my good buddy Chris Roast Swag and George Spack are giving me some blowback. Two Cleveland boys. They don't want to hear that the Browns might have a time in the AFC North. There's probably four or five other divisions, if there even is that many. I guess there's six, right? Yeah, you got, well, is it eight? West, North, South, East. Yep, there's eight. Yeah, I think the Browns could probably win the NFC South. I think the Browns could probably win the NFC East in a wild year. I think the Browns could. And the NFC North, that's kind of tough. I mean, it's a little top heavy, but unpredictable to say the least. AFC South, I don't know. AFC West, I don't know. AFC East, they could win. And then there's AFC North, the best division in all of the land. So, you know, I think the Bengals ended up coming in last in AFC North. So what shit am I talking? Next deal. All right, Chargers. Jim Harbaugh has made some locker room changes. I really liked this. Not only are player lockers rearranged numerically, but each player nameplate now shows their recruit level coming out of high school, NR through five-star recruit level. That's sick, man. Like walk-ons, sitting with walk-ons, just being like, yeah, bro, we in here. We out here. And you can have, like, you know, friendly contests with each group. Because here's the thing, like, there's nobody that's going to be butthurt about any of that because everybody made it. You know what I mean? It's a really, really interesting morale thing. Jim Harbaugh is emerging as one of my favorite humans to coach the game of football as of late. Let me tell you, the way the guy talks about things, the way he makes football human, especially with the level and profile of the players he works with, I really like the guy. I remember the days of the inviting recruits on official visits, and when they couldn't come to him, he would go do a sleepover with them. I believe he did that with a kicker of some kind while he was still coaching the Michigan Wolverines. So, that's pretty sick. I would have been in the walk-on room, but I'm a damn investment advisor. I ain't in the league. Next deal. New Bengals tight end Mike Gesicki on QB Joe Burrow. Never been in a huddle with that kind of talent. Two is probably just like, really, man? Really, man? I don't know. That draft was, I don't remember if, I should know that, if Tua and Joe Burrow were in the same draft. But it's like, you know, when he was on the Patriots, like, yeah. I don't know, but here's the thing, man. He probably played with, I don't know if Mike Gesicki played with Cam Newton in New England or not. But I think we got a clip queued up for later in the show. I just, when people say Cam Newton isn't a Hall of Fame caliber player, I know he didn't win a Super Bowl. And I don't know, maybe I just like him because of his personality, and it's convenient for me to say he's one of the greats, but like in college, off mitt, Cam Newton is one of the best to ever play college football for sure. And I know we're talking about pros. There will be a clip later. But, you know, I see a lot of Chiefs fans talking on Twitter like, holy shit, you know, we're doing this and the Bengals can't even sniff it. I mean, they just constantly, I don't know what it is. I think a couple of the games that Joe Burrow's 3-1 against the Chiefs. I think that really bothers Chiefs fans. And I have a couple of fellas that play on the Chiefs that I deeply care about. So, you know, I love y'all. But your fans need to get their shit together. I mean, you guys are the reigning champs. The Chiefs are the reigning champs. But their fans are constantly thinking about the Bengals. I mean, it's constant. And, you know, it's just kind of like a rent-free deal where I think they know that if Joe Burrow's back and playing healthy, Cincinnati beats the Chiefs. And I think the Chiefs fans got a false sense of confidence, and they know it because they're constantly thinking about the Bengals. So, anyway, I think Joe Burrow, I mean, we'll wait till the season. All right, so my dogs, a couple of my dogs fought in Montana last night, Friday night, April 12th, and I just wanted to showcase my dog, JoJo. He's a friend of the show. Might have to have him on. Take a look at what he did last night. Gangsta shit, dog. And then Ezra, who I don't know incredibly well, absolutely ate. Tommy Gunn, McMillan, who is probably going to have his next fight in the UFC, made light work of the champion of that fight promotion at his weight class. So, Bread Hawk Academy up next. I had my first day of sparring back today since my left shoulder started bothering me. And, man, it felt good. I might have a little bop on my nose. We're going to be all right. Next deal.
On the hip drop tackle being removed and just the physicality of the game changing.
Yeah, it's again a thing I don't like about it. I feel like we're trying to protect people in a physical sport. I don't think you go into a boxing match and say, okay, I want you to beat your opponent, but I don't want you to beat him bad.
Don't hit him that hard.
Yeah, don't hit him hard. Just tap him and try to win on points. I feel like if you could protect yourself in football, then it's your responsibility to protect yourself. I don't think it's your opponent's responsibility to protect you. There's going to be a lot of people that have been in the Hall of Fame, Ray Lewis, Rodney Harrison, some of the greatest players I've ever been around, great defenses, the Steel Curtain, the Purple People Eaters, Denver's defense, the what they call them, No Fly Zone, you know, all those guys. I mean, they won Super Bowls and were part of championship teams because of their physicality.
Thoughts on?
Offense is the only way to win games now. It used to be offense, defense, special teams. We've created a game now where only the offense can really make an impact. Because defense, every time you make a great defensive play, there's a penalty. And it advances the ball 15 yards. And they blame the defensive player for hitting an offensive player too hard. Yeah. So I don't like those things. I'd like for it to have a closer look at how we've affected the game in a negative way. And I think that should be seriously thought about for the future of the game.
Way to speak on that, man. Golly. I know they're some fans that aren't casuals that, you know, just can't stand seeing some good hits be penalized. You know what I mean? And Tom Brady, that's a quarterback saying that now. It's just like, bro, let the boys play. Everyone likes it more. National championship game in basketball happened here in Glendale on Monday of this week. And, there was a clip that went viral on Twitter about, and I didn't see it. I was at the game, so I guess I didn't see the shot on TV until I checked Twitter. And it was Zach Edey for Purdue, the big center, walking back to their sideline. And UConn coach Dan Hurley said something to him. And everybody on Twitter was like, oh, he shouldn't be mouthing off. This is classless. Let the boys chirp, you freaking. You know what I mean? Like, it's competition, man. People get fired up. Let them. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people that may not have ever competed comment on those situations. It's just like, dude, watch Modern Family or some shit. Seriously. There's no place for that in this game. Bullshit. I think there should be more of it. Next deal. I mean, same with Ray Lewis and guys like Ed Reed. They were constantly part of competition is having the ability to get in the opponent's head a little bit. Because that's a competitive advantage if you use it the right way. And if you don't let it engulf you to the point where you hurt your team. You know, I remember a hit on Chad Johnson growing up. Obviously as a kid, I watched every Bengals game, and I probably talked about this damn hit on the show before, but Ray Lewis just clocked him, cleaned his clock so bad that Chad like stormed up, like ripped his, I think his helmet was off, wanted to fight. And people like that, man, because it's two guys. They don't have personal beef against each other. You know what I mean? It's not personal, but when you're competing, that different side kicks in. And after the game's over, it's cool. You dap up. There was some announcers on the boys' fights last night that, I mean, they were just, you know what I mean? And my boy JoJo, he does not, when he fights, we've talked about this, he does not touch gloves. Because why? Because the guy across from me is trying to hurt me, dog. You know, I've never had a real MMA fight in a cage in my life. Probably won't. And I wouldn't touch gloves either. You know what I'm saying? But after the fight, guess what? JoJo goes over, dabs him up, hugs him, tells him good job, whatever, even though the kid didn't do a good job. And it's like, listen, before and during competition, it's on, boy. It's on. And then after, we can be cool because it's done. And I can be, and you know, you can kind of be a human again. But when you're in that flow state and you're trying to, you know, win, it's very definitive. It's like either I win or you take it from me. And so whatever advantage you can have, like, I guess the touching gloves thing is different than, you know, well, it really ain't. But it's like, man, I'm worried with the NFL that they're trying to create a league where it's all lighten up the scoreboard and Mahomes ridiculous plays and getting breaks, getting off, you know, just because he's who he is, you know, I'm really talking out my ass at this point, but great defenses affect the game and they get in your head. And if you take that away, if you take guys' ability, if you take away that competitive advantage and you give it to one side of the football, it's really going to change the game. And I think negatively. Okay. Next deal. This clip's fire. Now ref's like, yeah. He definitely has some. That was in the fucking 40s, 50s, 30s. He definitely had some bread on that game, and it was for the team that was on offense for show. He said, just like he got up and made the catch, boy, straight up. All right. So I thought I'd pull some golf clips in honor of the Masters. It's going on right now. Might be wrapping up as we shoot this. Really, all I care about is Tiger, and Tiger made the cut, so he's gonna be wearing the Sunday reds. But to start it off, man, I saw this guy. He's got this monstrously long driver, monstrously long, and I'll run the clip right now. But I mean, I don't know if y'all be able to hear that, but it sounded literally, yeah. And he just clobbers it. I mean, a club that long, bro, I wonder if you can't hit it 350, 400. For real. I mean, but I forget. The swing of that big-ass club, it sounded like a monstrous animal. And I can't remember which one that came to mind. It was like, you know, just one of those deals. So, you know, a lot of fun. I don't know if it's legal to play with a club like that in tournaments. I highly doubt it, or else people would probably do it. But then again, maybe they can, and they just don't have the capacity, courage to give it a shot. I would imagine it's not legal in tournaments. Next deal.
How you know you ain't supposed to be spitting out that window?
Bang the fuck back.
Why are you pissed?
Too early to be doing that
exactly.
Shit.
Exactly. And you could.
Too early.
I don't give a fuck. Bang the hell.
You loud, man. I'm just telling you. There you
I'm
go.
Gonna tell you.
There you go. There you go with the shirt.
That boy 54 years old.
How many times I'm going to tell you? Don't touch me again. Bag the ham back and get the damn camera on my face. Shit. Quit touching me.
Your sleeves aren't supposed to be what covering your elbows, man.
I don't know where the fuck my sleeves supposed to be. My sleeves, where they at?
It's comfortable.
Mind your damn business.
It's comfortable like that.
He's not.
It's comfortable like that.
Right, that's why I'm wearing it. I get that damn camera. On my
bad. Face. Do video and it just keeps poking
drip
at
check,
him.
Drip check.
Drip that motherfucker.
It's long.
Get the hell
up. Pissing him off.
All right.
That's like me and one of the dogs. I just always mess with her and she growls at me and she maybe bite me, and you know, it's just something like that. It's just fun to mess with, kind of, you know, you just kind of want to see what they'll say next, what they'll do next, what'll push them over the edge, you know, type shit. All right. I wanted to see what was going on in the sports business world. Let's see. Inside Masters pandemonium, cheap sandwiches, pricey shirts, and the wild world of the Masters. Okay. Let's see. This week, some traditions remain unchanged. New ones are being formed, and the hype around golf's most popular tournament is still growing. It is. I've been watching it a lot. It says the pimento cheese and egg salad sandwiches at Augusta National are still $1.50 each. That's fire. But beer prices at the Masters have gone up by $1. Patron's choice of domestic import or the Crow's Nest craft brew now costs $6. That's still, I mean, a good ass price as opposed to $5. That modest increase hasn't slowed down sales, so that's good for them. But perhaps to the chagrin of some ticket holders, liquor's offered only in hospitality areas. Where did you get those? Was a common question heard during Monday and Tuesday practice rounds. Okay. Market demand. You won't find too many images online. This email, by the way, is from Front Office Sports. You won't find too many images online of the Herald and Masters merchandise shop where photography is prohibited and the outside brands are almost non-existent. Peter Millar does not have a Masters collaboration offered in store. This week, a standard Masters golf polo is going for $89, but the hottest item has been the Masters Garden Gnome, which has gained a cult-like following throughout the years. Interesting. One cashier said gnomes were selling out within 20 to 40 minutes of opening. They cost $50 at Augusta National, but can resell for thousands of dollars online. That is insane. Off the course, Sanctity, former major champion John Daly has a week-long party at a Hooters just a mile away from the Masters, and they say that's a huge draw. Let's see. Of course, Augusta is a hot spot for golf fans this week, but it's also the place to be done for anyone looking to get big business done. Airports in Augusta and Atlanta, which is more than a two-hour drive away, I'm surprised it's that close, are seeking 38% increase in business travel this week as opposed to Masters week last year. So that's kind of the biggest number of this read here. 38% increase year over year in business travel to Augusta and Atlanta. Compared to other big sporting events, business travel into Atlanta this week is up 120% over a week-long span in October 2021. When the Braves were in the World Series, and up 730% from late December 22 when Georgia played Ohio State in the college football playoff semifinals at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. What a mouthful. So let me run that back just so I understand, because I'm reading this with y'all. Compared to other big sporting events, business travel into Atlanta this week is up 120% over a week-long span in October 2021. Interesting. Interesting. So that's kind of the pandemonium behind the Masters. And we got more about the Masters as... Hopefully, when y'all are seeing this, you'll be enjoying Masters Sunday. Tiger Woods will be in his Sunday Reds. And Bryson DeChambeau hit this hole-in-one at the practice rounds and gave a tribute to Sketch, who has emerged as one of the biggest streamers out right now, streaming Madden. Thank you, brother. Tuesday. It was a Drano, too, bro. Like, Mike picked that up perfect too, bro. Thank you, brother. Yeah, dude, I saw a sketch, and we didn't cut the little TikTok promo off of these videos, but the little so sketch. I remember thinking like the last year or 2 years, like, damn, dude, there ain't nobody, like, there isn't a ninja, there isn't like a big streamer. I'm not really familiar with all of it. But like, I used to always think like, damn, like all these personalities in video game streaming these days, nobody's picked up Madden. Nobody's done that. And I would look at Twitch and like the Madden, you could like search in Twitch by game, like who you want to watch. I mean, and I would always look at Madden and the numbers would be just drastically lower than any other game. And I used to always think, man, I bet there's a market for that. Like, I would watch people just playing Madden and getting pissed. I know how I get when I'm playing Madden, start raging, cussing, and it's probably a damn 12-year-old on the other side of the online match. You know what I'm saying? And so when I saw Sketch getting big, it's happened the last, I would say, like month or so, couple of months, where like Steve will do it's doing stuff with him. Bradley Martin's doing stuff with him. He linked with like Diggs and Stroud and like ran routes. Like he's just blown up. There's all kinds of people posting videos for him. There's t-shirts with him on it now. And he's got the personality for it, dude. His character is the best. Like a lot of football guys have picked up on it. Lane Kiffin was doing it. I saw Will Levis doing it, quarterback for the Titans. Lane Kiffin, head coach for Ole Miss. Football, and I'm sure, dude, I bet like in college football programs and pro programs, I mean, even fucking you see Bryson DeChambeau. Thank you, brother. I'm hotboxing this damn cigar. But anyways, he's gotten huge, dude, and so, you know, iconic for Sketch. Bryson DeChambeau hits like an iconic shot, really. I know it's a practice round, but you know, gets a little tribute after that. Oh shit, I threw some stupid shit in here. Check this out. Beep. That's him, Hunter. This is mad. I used to play that video game a little bit, bro. It was really good for like 2 years when it was MLB 2K. And I think Evan Longoria was on the cover, and he now trains at Red Hawk with Tim. You used to have the Wii remote like a bat, and you'd literally do a full swing, and it was like playing real baseball almost. I mean, that's delusional. But y'all get what I mean, right? The swing was the same. And it was fire, bro. I used to love MLB 2K. The show is what the deal is now. That's, I feel like the show is the only baseball game. So they don't make MLB 2K anymore. 2K, here's the thing. 2K needs to get the rights to the NFL video games back. And 2K needs to get the rights to the MLB games back because they make fire ass video games, bro. 2K is much better than EA. And, you know, I think people are happy with the show. I myself am not a PlayStation owner. The show is an exclusive game to PlayStation, not Xbox, which I own. A quite old one for that matter, because I don't play video games that much. Maybe we'll start streaming Madden. That's my bold prediction for 24, among others. Weird ass wink, I bet. Maybe it was good. Next clip. Me. I love when Patrick would scream like that. Nice, I love the music.
Tap it in. Give it a little tappy.
What's up, brother?
Ham.
Another tribute.
That shot blew my mind. This happened on Thursday.
Tap, tap, tap a room. Who wants to lick my cheeks?
You what?
No, God, no, God, please, no, no, no.
And it's gone.
You suck at this game. Nice
Ham shot.
You want to see me do it again?
Yeah. Beat nice noises. That was ham.
Fucking meow. And it's gone.
God damn it.
I mean, that was beat. I was watching that. Me and my dad. My dad's in town. We work together at Old Dupree Financial Group. And he's out here right now. And we were driving to Tucson, Tucson, Arizona. And I had the Masters on my phone sitting down in the middle console. And I was watching that hole. Actually, that's not true. I messed up that story. I was watching Thursday Masters in the car, and yes, I was driving safely, but I saw that hole and I didn't see the left-handed. I didn't see the hole at all. I just heard about it. It was a par five. I saw the drive off the tee. It was shitty. And I was like, ah, fuck. Tiger's fucked. And it was in the pine straw, like literally a tree, you know, right here. And the ball's like right next to it. And you can't hit it out of there as a righty. So you saw on the screen there, he literally hit it out lefty. It's a par five. And he ends up parring the hole after making a shot, taking a shot lefty. It's pretty fire. Tiger, let's fucking go, man. Hopefully you're winning the Masters by the time this drops. Okay. Now, this guy, I don't really know who he is. The name rings a bell. It's very generic. Seems like a generic human. And I'm going to be honest. I've marshaled for some golf tournaments. Most golfers are arrogant, egotistical pricks. There are a few cool ones. But most of them think that they're God because they can make a ball go where they want it to go. And I'll let y'all be the judge of this. I think after y'all see his interview in response to what happened in this clip, you might be on the same boat as me.
At four over or better. Top 50 in ties will play the weekend. And Zach Johnson is going
to... So he says fuck off, clearly in response to people clapping for him. And he was asked about it. And here we go.
After my putt for double bogey.
Immediately defensive.
I guess it really doesn't matter. I can't hear anything from... I mean, there are 100 and... Well, with the downhill, they're 152. They're actual 154 away, so 152 away. I am not...
Definitely
lying. I don't
understand
the situation. What are they saying that I did or said or...
Knows what he did.
That I swore at the patrons.
That's lying.
Laughable. That's completely laughable. I can't lying. Hear the patrons, number one. Number two, I just made a triple bogey on the 12th hole.
Defensive.
That evidently is going to make me miss the cut, which at the time I kind of knew was pretty sensitive.
Explaining it, even though he says you didn't do it.
Taking pars. If I've said anything, which I'm not going to deny, especially if it's on camera, one, I apologize, and two, is fully directed towards myself. Entirely.
Was it?
Because I can't hear anything behind me.
Y'all cook this, man. I know this show is on the up. We don't got a lot of viewers, but here's... That don't even matter her, okay? This guy kind of made me mad because it's a bad reflection on the game when... The top guys, right? The people in the Masters are behaving like this and clearly did some bullshit, then doesn't own up to it, gets defensive, lies that he doesn't know what he did, and then explains himself for doing what he did and apologizing without really apologizing. He's wearing a Transamerica hat. I'm in the investment business. Transamerica's in the investment business, and I was doing a rollover for a client, and I spent 2 hours on hold with Transamerica to even get an agent. So The people that work at Transamerica are probably sorry asses just like this guy, and that's why they do business together. I can't stand an arrogant bastard golfer. I've dealt with a few of them, and I bet this guy didn't even make the cut. We're filming with my phone, so I can't look it up, but if he didn't make the cut, if he's not playing while we're shooting this, oh, he talked about missing the cut. Try not triple bogeying with everything on the line. I can't stand that guy. Anyway, next deal. Aha!
Goes deep, got a man open, wide open. Touchdown, Auburn! Emory Blake, number 80.
I remember I was like 11 during this game. I think my parents were taking me to Dick's Sporting Goods to get some gear or whatever, and we left when Alabama went up 24-0 in this game, and I remember seeing all of this unfold on the screen at Dick's Sporting Goods and being like, holy shit. Play fake draw. I wasn't really a draw on that one, but they constantly did that. I remember they came to Lexington, Kentucky to play UK that year. Back when my parents had season tickets when I was a kid. There, that was that play fake draw that they loved, or play fake QB blast, whatever you want to call it. 27-21, they got the ball and they're driving. And they still got plenty of time. I posted a clip from two episodes ago that I think a lot of Bama fans really fucked with. Sorry for cussing. A lot of fans really like. They just get to go ahead. Bama fans are not going to like me showing this if this shows up in the clip-a-sphere. Saban's like, dude, what is going on? This guy's really good. Got A.J. McCarron. The quarterback for Bama.
Nico Thorpe.
Yeah.
Auburn will win.
24-point comeback on the road, dude. Cam was so freaking good that year at Auburn.
28-27 victory in the Iron Bowl.
Auburn Hall of Famer for sure. Bama fans won't like me showing this. You'll be all right. And looks like that's the show, fellas. That's the show. So, a little bit of golf, smidge of football talk, and some good juice from a couple of my mentors, some virtual, some not. But if we said anything, talked about anything that struck you in the chest this week, let us know that you liked it. And for the folks that continually tune in, thank you. Be a friend. Tell a friend. This is In the Jar, episode 14, with your boy, Doop. Hit that subscribe button. We'll see you.